Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the pulpit. And thank you. Hey, it's always good to be here. This is extra special, having Mark alongside. Yeah, 1995 with Mount Helena, but I met Mark and Betsy in 1990. How many from the 1900s? Anybody else from the 1900s? Doesn't that sound old? That was a long time ago. Went to a conference at his home church, City Hill, in Minneapolis, and they stuck me with a host home, people I never met before. This Mark and Betsy Spencer are going to stay with them. I'm like, oh, great. And it was great. And we yearned for, like, we had years where we didn't hang out very much. And to be back, and he's a good friend of my pastor's. My pastor, he lived in your basement for a while, didn't he, or something? You all know Pastor Kendrick, my pastor. We've got all these years of relationship, and it's great at our old age to bring it all together and bless the body of Christ. You're just getting the best of us. We're like the fine wine, save the best for last, all right? How many want the Bible this morning? Is that good? See, I had to go down and get my Bible. All right. So, well, we have screens. Okay, get your screen out. Get your Bible out. Go with me to John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. That's our text this morning. And I really believe what Mark's word really kind of helped set the stage or kind of emphasize what the Holy Spirit's saying about it's time to increase, it's time to push back the walls, it's time to bring people into your life. And so I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. We're going to kind of look at him from the metaphor that Jesus gave us in John chapter 7, verse 37. Let's pick it up and read that. Jesus said, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Then John goes on to explain this. He goes, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I've got good news for you. The Spirit's been given. This is pointing to the future day. We just celebrated Pentecost Sunday a few weeks ago. The Spirit has been given. So guess what? The river is alive. The river is here. The river is rising. And so we look at this text and say, what was the context in which Jesus shouted this out? He didn't say, I've got a sermon for you this morning. I love it when it says, and Jesus cried out with authority, cried out with passion on the last day of the feast. What feast? The Feast of Tabernacles that they celebrated every year. It was a week-long celebration, or some would call it the Feast of Booths, where they would just actually, we all are Montana campers, they would get their camping tent out and build these little booths, and then they would sleep in it and hang out in these little booths all week long to remind them of their journeys in the wilderness, where they were camping in the wilderness. And so they would go do this for every single day until the last day. But on those days, every day, the priest would go down to the Pool of Siloam, and he would draw a bucket of water out and bring it back up, and he'd pour it down the steps of the temple. And they would do that every day, and they would quote Isaiah 12:3 with joy. Come on, Brian. Not Brian, what's the pastor's name here? I keep forgetting. JR, yeah. I got so many people in my brain. Sometimes I got Mark and Brian. It's like, when JR talked about joy this morning, the joy of the Lord, this is what they would do. They would quote Isaiah, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and then they would pour it out to remind them. It's a new day. We're living in the joy of the Lord, right? And this is all foreshadowing the Holy Spirit. Because on the last day, and this is where we're going, on the last day, the great day, they would do something different. The priest would go down. He'd get that final bucket of water. He'd bring it up, and he didn't quote Isaiah 12 anymore. He would quote Isaiah 44:3, and he would say, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants on the last day. And when he did that, Jesus stood up and cried out what? If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That was all symbolic, Jesus saying. That was all pointing to me. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. So that's the invitation. I got a question this morning. Are you thirsty? Anybody thirsty? How many already had your coffee? Had something? We're supposed to wake up thirsty. If anyone's thirsty, let him what? Come to me and drink. I think of, this is John 7, but I go back a couple chapters to John 4. We all know the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus met a woman at a well to use that as a contact point to present the gospel to her, where she came to get natural water, and Jesus said, I have living water. See, Jesus triggered her thirst for the Spirit. He triggered her by being there. She came to get natural water. Jesus gave her spiritual water. Thirst is always the starting point. We start with thirst. What does that mean? I have needs. How many have needs? How many never raise your hand in church? That's the rest of you. We all have needs. It's the gift of neediness. We're born needy. We have needs. We have desires. We need to be honest about that. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God. God does not fill the self-sufficient. I'm good. I have the internet. I'm good. I have Google. I don't need. He feeds and nourishes the spiritually hungry and thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. What are you hungry for? You know, there's something in us, the way God made us. There's something in this that says we want to right wrongs, right? Every good movie, every good series, something starts out with something wrong. Someone gets shot, someone gets kidnapped, somebody betrays somebody and say, this is good. And inside you're going, this has to be rectified. This has to be made right. And that's how movies are made, right? And in the end, we're all waiting for the final thing. Oh, good, it was made right. And what it fulfills is our sense of righteousness. Something's wrong. Somebody better make it right. You're born into this earth very wrong. We're all born wrong. We're all born in sin, right? Jesus came to make it right. He is our righteousness. So thirst for God is normal. It's healthy. Spiritual dryness is just a sign you're made for more. You're thirsty. You need something. So thirst should drive us toward Christ, not away. It's kind of like, well, I'm kind of dry, so I'm not going to go to church today. It's like, no, it's the opposite. I'm thirsty. Jesus said, come to me, right? That was the response. If anyone's thirsty, come to me. Come to me and drink. Isaiah 55:1, come all who are thirsty, the prophet said. What a theme throughout the book of Isaiah. Coming is intentional. Coming is intentional on your part. He says, come to me. What does that mean? I want a relationship with you. You're thirsty? Come to me. I want a relationship with you. I want to meet your need. We come when? Sunday for an hour is good. It's like, no. Come every day. Daily bread is good. Even daily bread can get a little dry without some water, right? Come to me. And drinking is not passive. Drinking is active on your part, right? Not just a sip. We don't come and sip with Jesus. We're to be hydrated. My gosh, we live in the hydration generation. Isn't it crazy? Mark and I are old, so when we were out playing in the backyard and with our buddies and everything, when we got thirsty, where did we go? The garden hose. Come on, all you old garden hose people like me. We just go to the nearest garden hose, let it run for a minute, right? And then, you know, we all drank until the guy put his lips on it, and we were like, what are you doing? It's like, then you run a little bit more. It's like, okay, the germs are gone. Yeah, we went to the nearest garden hose, right? And we didn't walk around with our water bottles and everything and the hydration generation. I mean, to the point now, we have water bottles, and then we have hydration packets to put in the water bottle to double hydrate the hydration. I don't know. Are we overhydrated? I don't think so. But drinking is active on your part. You got to come and you got to receive and you got to trust and you got to continue in your life with God. That's your devotional life, worship, all those things. But he says what? Whoever believes in me. Faith is the cup that you fill up with the Spirit of God. Faith is the cup that receives the water that you're supposed to be drinking. In the natural, we open our mouth and drink, but in the Spirit, you got to open up your faith cup, which is within you, within you. It's within you. That's what Jesus said. Because what happens? If you're thirsty and you come, whoever believes in me, something's going to happen in you. Whoever believes in me, I'm going to do something in you. Whoever believes in me, something's going to happen in your faith cup. Down in your heart will start a flow. Something will flow out of you. Out of your innermost being, the King James says, will flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart. Now, there's two different Greek words for heart. One is cardia. That's where we get the word cardiac. That's your blood pumper and all that. There's a spiritual connotation to that. But Jesus, there's a different word Jesus used here. Out of your kolia, out of your innermost being. The kolia is your belly, your abdomen, your innermost being, that inner cavity that was meant to be filled by God. Nothing else can satisfy it. Not, I will quench your thirst. No, Jesus say, come to me if you're thirsty, I'll quench your thirst. Come to me if you're thirsty, I'll fill your tank. Come to me and something's going to happen in you. Out of your innermost being, I'm going to start a flow of the river of life. God's design for you is that you overflow with the Spirit of God. You flow from the river. The river starts a flow inside of you. It's a river. It's not a pond. Ponds are stagnant. Ponds don't produce. It's not a well. Wells are limited. It's a release. Out of your innermost being, I'm going to release something in you. Something that's moving. Something that's refreshing. Someone that gives life to other people. The Spirit was designed not just to come to us, and we love our Holy Spirit, don't we? Come on, you charismatics, we love the Holy Spirit. It's just a distinctive of Mount Helena, of all the churches. You're not better. You're just recognizing we need more. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was designed to come to us, but to flow through us. That's the point. Yes, personal renewal. Yeah, the Holy Spirit comes, refreshes, satisfies our thirst. But it's designed to bless other people. I think that's what the Holy Spirit was whispering to Mark today. We got to push the wall. We got to let the Holy Spirit out of here. When you leave, you take the Holy Spirit with you. And there's thirsty people out there. There's dying people out there. And the river is in you. Your witness. What did Jesus say in Acts 1? When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit's going to come, right? He's going to give you power. You'll receive power, ability, dunamis. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be something. Something's going to come out of you. You'll be my witnesses. That's the design. Witness to who Jesus is in you. Love's going to come out of you in a whole different way because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's the love of God. That's not your love. That's not family love. That's not I love pizza. That's not that kind of love. That's a supernatural love to love the unlovable. How many know? Sinners tend to be a little unlovable at first meeting, right? It's like, oh, those dirty sinners. Like, I'm glad they don't come to our church. It's like, why? We want sinners, right? Jesus is calling sinners even. And they can be unlovable. Hey, sometimes your family members can be unlovable. You need the love of God, right? I got to push through. What was natural love got me this far, but we all need the love of God. And where does it come from? The Holy Spirit. So what flows out of us reveals what's flowing into us. Yeah, it's called fruit of the Spirit, right? Because the Spirit will produce love, joy, peace, all those fruits. Spirit in, guess what? Spirit out. Where the river flows, and this is what I love most of all, it brings life. For a moment, just you don't have to go there, but in Ezekiel 47, God gave Ezekiel this amazing metaphor of the river of God. In Ezekiel 47, it's a great chapter. And in it, he takes the prophet to this river, and he begins to show him this river. And he begins to step into the river, and the water goes up to his ankles. This is kind of like, what's life in the Spirit like? What's it like? Well, God is gracious. He's progressive. And the water came up to his ankles, then it came up to his knees. And then he got deeper in the river, and it came up to his loins. And then pretty soon, it swept him away. I think any of our walk with God starts that way. God's gentle. We start out, we get our ankles. We come up to our ankles. That means we get our footing in the river. The river gives us stability and then comes up to our knees. And while, you know what that does? Affects your prayer life. Once the Holy Spirit starts coming in your life, man, it changes your prayer life. Your knees get affected and you can feel strength and it comes up to your loins. Your loins is where they carried all your weapons, right? Your weaponry, the weapons of the Spirit. We fight in the Spirit, not in flesh. And your belt girded with truth, and truth rises. And that's where reproduction comes from. Come on, all you adults. You know, the loins area, the Holy Spirit wants to, what? Bring healthy reproduction to the body. But then you get in the Spirit pretty soon, you have to let go. One of the reasons why people don't experience the Holy Spirit, because what? They're hanging on. They don't want to be swept away. They don't want to surrender to the Holy Spirit because he might take them somewhere they didn't plan to go. When you get in the current of God, it ain't time to paddle. I feel there's a lot of Christians trying to walk with the Spirit, but they're paddling in another direction. Holy Spirit says, don't paddle, flow. Out of your innermost being, there's going to be a flow. Get in the river. And when that river started flowing, and in Ezekiel, it flowed from the temple, always comes from God as the source, and it flowed down toward the Dead Sea. And where the river went, the prophet said, it brought, everywhere the river went, it brought life. Do you know the river of God was designed to flow towards dead things? It'll flow out of you full of life. And it's always looking for deadness. Who's dead? Who's dead in their faith? Who's dead in their sins and trespasses? God's going to take you to dead people. Don't look so morbid. You're alive. They're dead. They need life. They need the gospel. You're the source. You're the river. And the river talks. The river has a voice. You just say, well, how does the river flow out? Oh, I guess that's what my belly button's for. That's a little, I just need to like tap it and flow. No, the river flows out of you through your mouth and through your hands. It's designed to flow out of you. Wherever the river went, it brought life. And interestingly, when that river started flowing in Ezekiel, the fish started jumping. Oh, the fish came alive. And the fishermen started lining the shores. God wants fishermen to come. God wants laborers to come, because when the fish start moving, how many fishermen go, I know where the fish are biting. I know where they're biting, right? It draws fishermen, and it brings life. And it says the trees began to grow along the river, and there's health and there's healing in the leaves. All that, what a beautiful picture of the river of life that's in you. It's just not in the book of Ezekiel. The Holy Spirit doesn't end in you. He flows through you. The explanation, again, that John gives, this he said about the Spirit. The river is the Holy Spirit. It's not an emotion. It's not hype. It's not a goosebump. It's not just a prophecy here and there. This he said of the Spirit, which is life. And it's a gift for all who believe, for all believers. The Greek would say it this way, let him who believes come to me and drink. It's an invitation, but it's for the believer. For him who believes, do you believe in this? Yes, then drink. It's available to all who believe in Christ. It's not reserved for the spiritual elite. It's not the same as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We drink, we flow, we reach other people. That's pushing the walls out. That's getting people in your home. Thank you, Mark. The point is, the Spirit is God's life in God's people. And you know what really can stir it is your prayer life. You can never get away from prayer because that's the relationship you have with God. That's why Jesus said, come to me. Let's have a relationship. Start asking me for things. And I love it when Jesus taught what we call the Lord's Prayer. I call it the disciples' prayer in Luke 11. He's teaching them because they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, okay, when you pray, say, talk, open your mouth, let the river out, right? You got to get the river out and come to Jesus and get something flowing to Jesus. Come to me. When you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then you start asking God for things. The river will cause you to connect with God and start asking for things because you got to drink first. When you're asking, you're drinking. Give us this day our daily bread and our daily drink. I'm not editing the Lord's Prayer, but I think that's in there. Give us. And then what? Forgive us. That's asking. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You're not done. Keep asking. What? Lead us. Lead us not into temptation. Then what? Deliver us. Notice the asking. The Lord's Prayer is one big ask. You honor God. This is who you are. I'm needy. I've got needs, God. Give me daily bread. Forgive me. Deliver me. Lead me. It's all asking. And he actually interrupts the giving of that, the crazy parable of the friend at midnight. It's all about asking. This guy just shows up at midnight. I need bread. I got a friend that showed up. He didn't even text me. He just showed up unannounced. What am I going to do? DoorDash isn't available. What am I going to do? I don't need bread. My neighbor, he goes to his neighbor. I need bread. He goes, go away. I'm in bed. Leave me alone. It's midnight, you crazy, are you kidding me? It's like, and finally he says, he will rise and give him whatever he needs, whatever he's asking for, not because he's his friend anymore. I'm unfriending you on Facebook as soon as you get out of here. He'll give him whatever he needs to get rid of him. God's not that way. Said he, why? Because he wouldn't stop knocking. And that's when Jesus said, now I say unto you, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Keep knocking, it will be opened unto you. Then he goes back in and finally says, and which of you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children? If your son asks for a stone, will you give him, or asks for bread, would you give him a stone? No. If he asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? No. That's that relationship with earthly fathers. He said, how much more? Say that after me. Ready? How much more? Well, your father, still goes back to the natural, the earthly father from the now up to the heavenly father. How much more will your father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to anybody? Those who ask. You want to kickstart the river? Ask for it. Are you thirsty? Come. Drink. Something's going to happen in you. So I want to just finish with Paul's New Testament version of what Jesus was saying. And he exhorts the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And he says this, don't get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. People can get filled with the wrong spirits. Why? They have needs. They're thirsty. But he says, don't overdo it with wine. That's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit and something happens. Something flows in you. Something comes out of you. You start addressing, first of all, yourself better. Do you know when the Holy Spirit's in you, he becomes a voice that will override what we call our stinking thinking? Listen, everybody's got inner thoughts going all the time. We call it self-talk. You're talking to yourself right now. Well, I'm trying to talk, and that's rude. Stop it. You can't help. You can't stop it. It's just always going on, right? Self-talk. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and override what we're thinking sometimes. Sometimes when you're getting ready to make a decision, don't go with your first thought, because it's usually you. That's why we wait upon the Lord, right? That's why we say, God, what would you say? Not too long ago, I was walking down to my offices in our basement, and okay, men, help me out here. I don't want to feel alone this morning. I know Mark will help me out. I had just done something stupid. Don't raise your hand in church. Oh, thank you. Thanks, guys. I feel better. You probably did something stupid this morning already. I don't know. I had just done something stupid, and I'm berating myself inside, going down the stairs, and I said this. I'm going down the stairs. I said, you're such an idiot. And immediately, I heard an override said, I don't call you that. It was that fast. It was that like, what? What I just hear. In other words, God, and that's what the prophetic voice of God does through the Holy Spirit. He asserts his voice over yours. That's what a prophecy is, asserting an elevated thought over your thought. So Isaiah said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. They're higher. And this higher thought came right in. I said, you're such an idiot. I don't call you that. And I just stopped. I said, was that Mary Jane? No, it wasn't Mary Jane. It's like, who's talking right now? It was so clear. It was so startled me because it wasn't me. Because the Holy Spirit was now what? Speaking to me. Don't you want that? Don't we yearn for that? Are you thirsty for that? Whew. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's where the Word, the Holy Spirit loves to amplify his own Word in you. You get filled with the Word, Holy Spirit's got a lot of talking to do. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. It'll change your attitude, give you an attitude of gratitude. You'll start being more thankful. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit's thankful. Giving thanks always for everything to God in the Father in the name of Jesus. Watch, submitting to one another. That's hard to do on your own. Out of reverence for Christ. When you're filled with the Spirit, it changes everything. Because when things are going wrong, guess what? Drink. When you're not very grateful, drink. When you're mumbling and grumbling, stop. Drink. When you're having a hard time submitting, not in Montana, you guys are good at that, but I know we all are human, right? We don't like to submit. Drink. And here's the thing. Paul said, when he said be filled in the Greek, it's continuous. Be being filled. Keep being filled. Why? We leak. we leak. It comes out. We drink in, it leaks, and then we pour out. We leak out, and we need to be continuously filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a life in the Spirit. Drink. And we can choose the source. That's the warning. You get to choose the fountain you're drinking from. You get to choose the source. Can I tell you, the world offers amazing substitutes. They look amazing at first glance. Can I tell you, they never satisfy? Social media, news feeds, reels are unreal. They look real, but they're in the end, you're unreal, and it's like, I'm still thirsty. I think I'll go another half hour of mindless reeling. It's like, and you're still not satisfied because the world says, oh, drink from my well, you'll be satisfied. And you get on going, I'm still not satisfied. And then we get addicted and we kind of, what's going on here? It's like, you're going to the wrong source. The Spirit will fill you. It'll empower you. It'll transform you. And then it'll want to get out of you. It wants to flow out. It's like, go talk to somebody. I feel compassion suddenly. I want to go talk to them. I want to invite them over for some pie. Thank you, Mark. You're just helping my sermon out today. But that's true. Filling always leads to overflow in your worship, in your gratitude. God supplies the Spirit, but guess what? You got to yield. You got to drink. So how do you live in the flow? We're going to close it up with this. How do you live in the flow? First of all, acknowledge you're thirsty. How many of Christians are some of the best fakers in the world? Especially on Sunday morning. For an hour and a half, we can fake it till we make it. You know, stop pretending when you're actually dry. It's okay. From now on, coming to Mount Helena, people walk in and say, how you doing? He goes, man, I'm thirsty. I am too. Glad you're here. Come on in. Let's get a drink, right? We're thirsty. Admit it. I'm thirsty. I'm too. Lay hands on me. Pray for me, right? I'm thirsty. Stop pretending when you're actually dry. Pray honestly, Lord, I need you this morning. And so you come to Jesus for daily bread, daily drink. Relationship, listen, don't miss this. Relationship fuels the river in you. Relationship with God, yes, but relationship with others. Again, that's what Mark was saying. Get around other people. It fuels the river. And drink deeply. Don't sip. Don't take a sip. Don't take a swig. Don't rush God's presence. Drink. Make space. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me. And here's the big one. Can I tell you this? You cannot pollute the river of God. You can't. You're not that good. Your sin's bad, but it's not that bad. It's not more powerful than the Holy Spirit. You can't pollute the river of God, but you can block it. Oh, yeah, you can block it. You can block the flow. What blocks it? Well, simple answer, sin, of course. But the things you got to guard, bitterness, unforgiveness, a critical spirit, anxiousness, distractions, self-control, all those things will block the flow in you. You got to yield. You got to surrender. You got to let the river rise and then say, whoo, I'm swimming now, baby. I'm going to go. Let's go. Go with the current. And confession will always clear the channel of the Holy Spirit in you. Just confess it. Confession's so important, but it's so easy. But the devil doesn't want you to confess. Your mind doesn't go there. You want to self-justify, and I can do this, and I, self-sufficiency, we hang on, yeah, but they hurt me, and I'm not going to. And suddenly you have to let the confession, if anybody sins, let them confess. Say, God, I messed up. I want your river flowing in me again. The river's not flowing, just go to God. God, show me. He'll show you quick. He'll show you quick. I don't call you that. Oops. I was messing with my own identity. You're such an idiot. I don't call you that. What? Ferris, I don't call you that. Don't stop the river. If I start thinking of myself as an idiot and I can't do this, and I suddenly the river starts, it holds up the river in me. And live expecting the overflow. And so, well, the elders, that's what they're supposed to be, rivers in the house. You know, these leaders, they're supposed to be the spiritual people, you know, they're supposed to. No. We all, out of y'all, I stole that from the North Carolina translation, out of y'all will flow rivers of living water, right? Ask God, God, flow through me, right? Through my mouth, through my hands. Help me love by the Holy Spirit. All the traveling I do, different nations, working with interpreters, people I can't even understand, words on a screen I can't even recognize. Dealing with all that, I have to lean into the Holy Spirit. I have to love people I've never seen before and will maybe never see again. But when God calls me to minister to them, I need the Holy Spirit. And I just say, God, love these people through me tonight. You love them through me. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So, stand with me, because I'm going to challenge you. Let's all step in the river. Let's get in the river. It's flowing. It's flowing, okay? Well, we got to, like Ezekiel, I'm going in. I'm stepping in. And let it come to the ankles, and let it start working in your prayer life, and let it start dealing and give you strength, and then be willing, be yielding to say, I'm just going to go with the flow here. I want to go this way. The river's going this way. I'm going to see what happens. Put your paddles away. Some of you are paddling up the, you know the story. You're up the creek, right? And some of you have no paddles, and you're still trying to go up the creek. The Holy Spirit's flowing toward death. Wherever the river goes, it brings life. You're someone's answer to their death. You're someone's answer to a life with no purpose and no hope. And Jesus is still calling this morning. Bow your heads. Just come to Jesus right now. Are you thirsty? I hope you're saying yes. If anyone's thirsty, come. Come to Jesus right now. You don't have to come to the stage. You don't have to come forward. Not is anybody perfect? No. Has anybody got it all together? No. Is anyone thirsty? And God's not saying, here, open up. I got a water bottle for you. He says, I've got a river for you. Don't stand on the bank this morning admiring the river. Come. Drink. Be filled. Let the river flow. And I'm going to close with Revelation. The end of the book, everybody. The end of the book. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You can look at the screen. I want you to see this. Look up at the screen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. That's your, once you hear come, guess what? You get to invite others. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take of the water of life. Without price. Freely you've received. Freely give, Mount Helena. So, Father, I ask right now, all who are thirsty, they would freely come and drink of the waters of life. And I pray in Jesus' name that Mount Helena Community Church, you will let the river flow into this community, into your houses, into your neighborhoods, into every blueberry pie. Let the river of God flow and bring life where people need it the most. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name, can you say amen, church? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let the river flow.